Okay, welcome to the Grace Hour Show today, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn faith in a practical way. Very important. My name's Pastor Gary Grunewald, and I'm joined with Pastor Stephen Schiavelli here in the studio. And today we're going to be talking about two great words, hupomeno, that's patience, and macrothemia, that's long-suffering. And we're going to explain the difference between the two. But we just want to say this is, we're getting ready for a convention. Mm. Pastor Matti's over in the other room speaking on missions. Missions is the theme, been the theme this week. And so we're getting ready for a convention. So it's going to be a great week next week to stay tuned with what's going on there. But there's going to be no Grace Hour show. Okay, there'll be no Grace Hour show next week because you can focus in on the convention during next week. So we won't be having convention next week, but after convention, it'll start up again. So we're going to take a 1 week pause there. So the topic of the theme today is long suffering towards people and then patience towards situations, trials, and tests, circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can Amen. We want to look first at a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Remember, this is Paul's last words to his son Timothy, one who would take the ministry along with Titus. He would have a certain portion of the ministry, and he is speaking to him, and there's some great truths. Every verse in the Bible is a great truth, but I love this verse, 2 Timothy 3:10, "For you have fully known." And that is a great statement right there. Fully known is the word para-akaletheo in the Greek. It means you've been next to me and you've been following me. Para is near. Akaletheo is fall as a disciple, to follow somebody as a disciple. So you have fully known. It isn't that you just got a letter from me or that I just communicated to somebody else to give this communication to you or I've just talked with you. But you were with me. You were with me as Joshua was with Moses, as the 11 were with Jesus, as people were with Paul in Acts 20, verse 4, seven men. You have fully known. And he names a number of things they have fully known. You have fully known my doctrine. I like how he kind of like claims it. We know it's God's doctrine, but when you believe it, it becomes your doctrine. Amen. My doctrine, my manner of life, the quality of my life. You've been right with me. You know the teaching. You've heard the teaching. You understand the type of life I live, the quality of life I live.
Discipline, right?
Yes. And purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and how he endured all of them. So he uses these two words here, and long-suffering and patience. And as Pastor Gary said, long-suffering has to do with people. People. It's you and me. It's in a marriage. It's in a family. It's in a church. It's at a workplace. It can be anywhere, on a sports team. That I am able to be a person who can suffer long with people. Suffer long with people. And the other word that's used, patience, is the word hupomone, and that really speaks of trials and tests, circumstances, and situations. And you could say, well, they kind of are related. Yes, they are related. But let's look at long-suffering, first of all. How long-suffering God has been with us. I mean, his long-suffering towards us. This is so key. We were going in every direction but towards God. We were not in God. And God was long-suffering towards us, macrothumia. And just with individuals. You can see this in the scriptures. From Genesis 16 to 17, it's like God is silent because of Abraham's disobedience with Hagar and Ishmael. And you see really nothing said for 13 years from Genesis 16 to 17. You see him being very long-suffering with Moses. Moses' life can be wrapped into triple 40s, three 40s, 40, 40, and 40. And God was long-suffering with him for so many years, for 120 years, actually. And by the way, that's how Moses learned to be long-suffering with the children of Israel, and because he saw how God was so long-suffering with him. So long-suffering with people. You see it with Jacob, 26 years, the translation of Jacob to Israel, one who has power with God. Jacob's mean, his word, his life, his name means trickster, supplanter, schemer. And it's changed to Israel, one who has power with God. And you just look through, you see it with Ruth, you see it with in Ezra and Nehemiah, with God towards his people. So this is having long-suffering with people, relationships. And then the second word has to do with trials. Trials and tests and circumstances that are taking place. And this is interesting. You see Job and the patience of Job. And in this unbelievable trial, you see people throughout the scriptures where they've been in trials. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel's three disciples, the three men thrown into a flaming furnace. You can see tests and trials in circumstances where this is going on. And even Jesus, I think, said, "How long must I bear with you?" Mm-hmm. You know, and patience with situations and circumstances. And there can be a circumstance like a sickness, a financial difficulty, maybe in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or friendship, two Christian brothers, Christian sisters, whatever it may be. And it's with people, being very patient with people. And Paul says to Timothy, you have fully known them. You have fully known my long-suffering and my patience. And by the way, this is so important. I learned a lot about these kind of things in Africa in particular, because like nothing takes place when you think it should. They said, the bus is coming. I say, when? They said, anytime from now. That's a great statement, isn't it? Yeah. Anytime from now. That like gives everybody a lot of room. That they can never say, oh, no, I never said it that way, and it's not late. I said any time from now. And I can remember one time I was in Nigeria, and I went to get on an airplane to come back to Ghana. And they said, well, the plane's been delayed. I sat in the airport for 3 days. They kept telling me it's going to be delayed. And it just never ended. Every hour. Well, we're hoping it'll be here next hour. And I noticed that in the airport, there was like one piece of meat. I don't even know how long I had been there. So there's nothing to eat, no place to sleep, and just I had some water or one Coke that was all, probably wasn't even good. That
sure was Coke.
But I learned something about patience and long-suffering in situations. And I'm sure each and every one of us can understand that and has great examples of it. But how important it is for us as Christians in life. Us as family men, as a father, as a mother, children, towards your job, wherever it may be, in a sporting event of some time. I used to say to myself, I got to be very patient in the circumstances because maybe one day somebody will throw me the ball so I can shoot. You know, there's some people that get on the basketball court and they can just
shoot.
That wasn't me.
I passed
me the ball a lot. I remember.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this.
Okay.
Is it afternoon?
This morning.
We're just about there. Yeah.
I have a question for you. Okay. You've had a lot of experience in leadership, in church life, dealing with people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the idea of macrothymia, long suffering with people, has your long suffering ever been criticized?
Sure.
Because you're loving somebody and other people don't understand your love, your long-suffering love for other people.
It's the long-suffering love, and it's also like God has spoken to you personally about this individual, and maybe he hasn't spoken to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a call to be like that with people.
Right.
And I think about that. That's true. Because I can also look at somebody else and say, wow, they are very... Well, I could never do that. They're so long-suffering with that person.
Right.
Don't they see it correctly? But it's given by God. Long-suffering is given by God.
It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's
right?
A fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Mm-hmm. And is the Spirit patient? Is the spirit long-suffering? So yes, it can actually be criticized. It can actually be looked at like, aren't you going a little bit too far with this person? Well, think about how God would see Saul of Tarsus, you know, and just waiting for the right time to meet him on the road of Damascus, or Jacob. I mean, you know, this is incredible how many years. How about Israel? Is it quite a few thousand years, isn't it? Right?
Yes.
And Israel still hasn't really come back to God as a nation.
That's the picture of God's long-suffering towards people, the nation of Israel, even the pause of the church, and is still considering Israel and still has a plan for Israel, hasn't kicked them out of his plan.
Absolutely.
This was in 1 Timothy 1:6, that you were talking about, Paul. He says, how be it for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering.
Mm.
He persecuted the church.
Yeah.
And he became an example of the type of long suffering that God has towards somebody that is against him. While we were yet sinners, the mind of God, he's still loving us. And this is the contradiction that we can actually live in. We see the long suffering of God, the patience of God towards, we're talking about long suffering towards people.
Yeah.
Right. And then this is Timothy here. I mean, Paul's saying to Timothy, hey, this is an example of who God can use and how God works.
And you just see something, and God sees differently than man sees. You know, this is the key too. As he's looking at Job, and he's looking at Ruth, and he's looking at Rahab, and he is just, you know. By the way, we should say in one aspect, with God, he's above the timeline. In other words, he's in time, but he's above it. Aionos means eternal. Eternal, that which is eternal, is above the timeline. It's not, and yet it's a mystery, but it's in time, but it's above the timeline.
Amen.
So God doesn't say, oh, like I'm just taking a look at 2023 and that's it. Well, you know, God sees, you know, 2075.
Well, isn't
God
that,
sees all the way back to, yeah.
Isn't that the macro part of macro?
Yeah,
like God, how long is long? Well, when you put long in eternity, how long can you actually suffer if you put long in eternity? So this is, you know, a man could be in his marriage, right? And he could suffer for a long time, right?
Yes.
I want to talk about that at all? Or?
Well, sure. I mean, it's like here's a woman, and she has a husband. And I read a story about a woman who had a husband, and she got saved. And for 17 years, he was a nasty drunkard, really nasty. And then they had a child. The child got very sick, and the child she got very sick, and her child began to pray.
Mm.
Their child began to pray. And it was a very interesting story. The child was on one side of the mother's bed and said, Lord Jesus, please heal. I love my mother. Heal my mother. And then the very same child went to the other side of the bed, changed her voice, and said, yes, I've heard your prayer, and I'm going to heal your mother. Then she went back to the other side of the bed and said, thank you, Jesus. And when the father saw that, he got saved. He got saved. And it had been a long time. But God was long-suffering. And by the way, the mother got healed, got delivered. The child's prayer. Long-suffering. How about long-suffering and patience with teenagers?
Yeah.
Okay, people got to go through things. You know, it's like a stream that is twisting and turning in the mountains, and it can be very strong, but it comes out into a very calm, smooth pond or a lake, you know. And so we have to realize that, you know, with some people, these things can take a lot of time.
Yeah.
A lot of time. And really, we just have fellowship with God and not with the situation that the person's in. Am I going to fellowship with God, who's eternal, or am I going to fellowship with that situation, with that person?
There's the key, right?
Yeah.
There's the key for long suffering. How are you going to think?
Yeah.
Are you going to think in love? Or are you going to think in judgment? Are you going to judge?
Yeah.
Are you going to make like accusations in your mind towards that person? Continue. Your long suffering is going to be very short, but when you have love and when you get God's mind for a person, then you have the ability to long suffer.
How about expectation? Where's your expectation? Is it from the person or is it from God? If my expectation is from God, I can be patient and I can be long suffering. And think about mothers with their children sometimes. And sometimes mothers have watched a child pass from, you know, the preteen to the teen to being a young person and go in the totally wrong direction. Totally in a wrong direction. I read a story about the father of Adoniram Judson, and he just got so negative. His father was a pastor, a very spiritual man, and his parents and whatnot, and he wanted nothing to do with it. And it was like years before he actually got saved. Yeah. And they had to be so patient and long-suffering. Circumstances end with people. And this is so key because, you know, everybody is unique. Everybody is unique, and they're not going to fit into your particular pattern or plan of how things should take place. For some person, it could be they can be delivered just like that. For another person, it might take 20 years, whatever. I don't know. You know, that's between them and God and whatnot. But how do I see this? How do I see this? And do I pray? And do I ask God to give me patience and long suffering? See, it definitely is not natural.
No.
At all. And by the way, I can always tell when I lived in Africa and I've been working in Africa since 1986. That's 37 years. I love to see like people that come either from Europe and from the States. They come from these high-powered civilizations where everything happens at bingo, just like that. You know, you dial something or you get your so-called iPhone and you use it and you got the answer within a second. And I would just watch them and they would come to Africa. You mean there's no internet? What is internet? We don't even have water here. Oh, yeah, somebody said to me, what kind of a hotel are you putting us in? I said, is it really nice? And they saw it. It looks good. I said, well, we don't always have water. And maybe next day is no electricity. So just be very patient. When's the power coming on? I said, get a candle. Just get a candle and a match and light a candle, you know, and you'll be able to survive. When's the power coming on? We used to get these, I don't know if Sebastian did this, but we had these with his family. We had these 50-gallon drums of water in Ghana because, you know what, we never knew when the water was going to go out. So we had like 100 gallons of water waiting there, you know, just in case. And then they say, the water coming back on tomorrow. The water's coming back on the next day. The water's coming back on. And then like you're in your 14th day and there's no water, you know. By the way, people can be crazy.
Yeah.
No electricity is one thing.
Yeah.
No water is another thing. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you're not bathing. You know, I mean, really interesting. So patience.
Yeah.
I think God really developed a lot of patience and long-suffering in me, in particular, in those years of being there. And just learning to wait on God. Isn't that the key?
Yeah.
It is. Waiting on God. Do we have anybody out there listening?
You can send us a message if you want to.
Call us.
Call us, whatever you'd
We're
like
patient.
To. Okay. So I have a question here. Like, so we have patience, okay? Patience, I was actually reading that it speaks about, maybe it's something that, God doesn't have because it's associated with hope, because God is sovereign. God knows the circumstances, and where man actually has to have hope. Mm-hmm. In his circumstances, on God, and not in what's happening in his life.
Yeah,
yeah. So I just think, you know, that's interesting to think that often patience is associated with hope.
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
without a doubt, because hope is a ELP ellipsis or elpizo, and it means I have an expectation of God.
Yeah,
God's going to come through. And by the way, you know, like I always look at it, I said to somebody recently, they said, oh, I don't know how long I can wait. I said, well, you know what? That person might not change till they get to heaven.
Right.
And they were like, don't say that. And you know what? Like, am I more concerned about my life and my ability to deal with the person's situation or circumstance or with them? You know, and maybe God is using situations to actually get me to a place where I can grow.
Yeah.
This is very important. So that person doesn't change. And really, the objective, the goal of them not changing is my patience,
yeah.
my developing patience, you know, and very key in our lives. And you're talking to somebody who had struggled with that.
Right.
Struggles with that. We can have that tendency in our lives, you know, especially in civilizations that are so quick hit. You just get what you want when you want it, how you want it, right away.
Right.
You know? Well, right away. Like, I mean, think about this. Like my grandmother, my grandmother Sebastian, she used to start cooking sauce on Friday, and then we would eat from the macaroni that sauce on Sunday. It was a 3-day process. You know what it's like now? Like people want to do it like in 35 minutes or 40 minutes, right? You know, squeezing, there's a can.
Well,
by the way, don't ever say the word ragu to me, okay? Or there's a can, something that's put together, and it's like, and we had to be patient waiting. Here's another thing for patience. In our family, you didn't eat till the grandfather came. And the food is on the table, and he's not coming. And you're sitting there looking at it, and you're starving to death. Patience, patience, sonny boy, patience. He's not yet here yet, you know? And so there's a lot of things that people are just, they want things at their fingertips. This technologically advanced society has no patience.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Really interesting. Not patient at all. I mean, of course, there are many people that are very patient, but overall, as a society, we want it and we want it now.
Right.
I mean, you know what? You go to the window. Can I get two hamburgers and a milkshake? If the guy takes more than like a minute, you're ready to drive your car away, you know, because it's like this is fast
yeah.
food business.
Yeah,
because no, why do we have fast food? Nobody has patience. They call it fast food because it's certainly made fast, but people want it right now.
Right,
I need this right now. You know,
yeah,
like wow, interesting.
Yeah, I was just think as you. Have or we have long suffering towards people. Okay. I'm long suffering. I'm learning how to love this person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to build a capacity in this person. And at the same time, as we learn how to love people, there's a provision from God mm-hmm. for our circumstances. The two go together. If you yes. react towards people and don't have long suffering towards people, mm-hmm. you lose patience. Because the two are linked together. This
yeah.
is the body of Jesus Christ. You have long suffering in the body of Christ.
Sure.
And then you have a blessed experience in the body. You have long suffering towards people in it. And then your experience in the body of Christ is also full. If you, mm-hmm. if a person doesn't have long suffering towards people, it affects their walk with God.
Yeah, their own walk with God.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, actually, sometimes don't people, they would never say this, and they would never talk this way, but they put themselves in the place of God in their relationship with the person.
Yeah.
And God can wait until they're a deathbed conversion.
Right.
And no, I want, you know, and then we just get into this striving to have God do something, or we end up kind of maneuvering and manipulating and thinking that we can get God to change his timing on something,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and there's no patience at
right.
all. And it's like, you know, it's like somebody going out. When's the last time you went outside and just yelled at the grass to grow? Grow! Grow! No, the grass is going to grow
right.
as things take place,
right.
as the rain comes and the sun comes and whatnot, and being patient. This is really vital. And I can see maybe like 50 years ago, it was different. People had a lot more patience.
Mm-hmm.
The more we have advanced in society, technological advancements, and we all enjoy them and love them, but the more we advance, I can see there's such a lack of patience and long suffering.
Right.
And people begin to think that the church ought to operate like the world, you know, and you don't have it right now. I need the answer right now. And God's saying, yeah, I'll give you the answer next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you the answer next year, you know. And how about this one? Well, I'm just looking for Jesus to come back. Okay, so I am too. But you know what? I'm also looking for
right.
Jesus in life.
Right.
You know?
Amen.
And I'm not going to just be one of these people that's always focused on looking up and waiting for the return of Christ. Jesus is going to come when he's going to come. He's got a plan, and I need to be patient towards that plan. But meanwhile, I can operate in the life of Christ towards people. and not get upset with God's plan. He's taking too long to be here. The world's a mess. You think the world's a mess? You know what? I can take you back even to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and the way back thousands of years in the Old Testament. Things were not good.
Right.
Things
right.
were not good at all. So much so that God just burnt the two cities, you know?
Right.
And you think about it, and he didn't find one person other than Noah and his family that was righteous mm-hmm. at that time. So being patient and not having my expectation be how I project my thoughts into God's mind and how I think it ought to be.
Right.
That's what can happen sometimes. I put my thoughts into God's mind, and I think that they're God's thoughts, but they're not. And I'm thinking something needs to happen with these kids, with this teenager, with this rebellious individual. No, well, in God's timing, you know, in God's timing, like you don't see the father running after the prodigal, do you? He was patient till the prodigal came home.
Yeah.
He was patient, you know?
Yeah.
And
long suffering.
Just waiting on him, you know, and loved him, but he didn't chase him to the pig pen.
Yeah.
He was patient. And he was long-suffering towards him.
The two go very close together, long-suffering. The way he's thinking about his son and loving his son gives him the ability to wait. If he thinks wrong about his son and the love, you know, why did he do that? Why did why did he want to take his inheritance and spend it all? And he focuses on his son. Yeah. It gives him no ability to live in his circumstances. This is Joseph, really, right? Yeah. Like not thinking wrong about his brothers, but living in hope in his situation. Then it was manifest when his brothers actually arrive on the scene. He's got a capacity for them.
What's God going to do with this situation, you know? I mean, I had wanted to, in the early 80s, be a missionary in Italy, you know, and never worked. It never happened. It just never happened, you know, and I would say, okay, God, what, where, when, you know? Well, just minister to people where you are, and when the time comes, I'll send you and be with you in the perfect plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but somehow we don't always like the perfect plan of God, or we don't think it's perfect, and we will not be long-suffering and wait upon God. And it's so important. Like in Acts chapter 2, they were told to do what? Go into the upper room and wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Will we be there like 1 hour, 1 day, 30 days, 50 days, a year, 2 years, 3 years? I don't know. You know, I don't know. But you wait. Wait on God. And what happens in Isaiah 40, 28 through 31? We renew our strength. We're patient and we're long-suffering. And by the way, during those times, they can be great strengthening times for the believer.
You know,
renewal and strength can come by just sitting there and being very patient, you know. But we've got these, you know, these watches and like, when's it going to happen, you know? Why and when? Okay, you got some
A few comments here, yes, from Laura Chatton. He teaches us patience in trials and situations in our local body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a big one. Patience in a trial, in a situation inside of the body of Jesus Christ. And then we have another one from Carol Bailey, waiting on God and things happen. And certainly they come from Jesus Christ. It makes a continual filling of God's Holy Spirit and his love. Okay, great comments. And Oretta, patience makes us long-suffering and gives us endurance until the end.
I love Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and when it ends with the just shall live by faith, which is one of the most repeated verses in the Bible, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, Romans 1:17. And he's talking, you know, the vision is yet for the appointed time. Now watch this. Though it tarry, it doesn't really tarry. You think it's tarrying. You think it should be happening now. No, it's not happening now. Though it tarry, it doesn't really tarry. It will come in God's timing. You'll be delivered, Joseph, in God's timing. Jacob will change, and it may take years. You know, sometimes we can see people that they can get totally delivered very quickly.
Yeah.
With other people, it might take longer. It might take a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years.
In 2 Timothy 3, which you were reading about the temptation, the long suffering and the patience. And at the end, he said, and he delivered me from them all.
Yeah, from
them
all.
He delivered me from them all. And this is, that's like our hope, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of these trials. Like, God's going to deliver me. You have this, you're remaining under, in this patience, under the teaching of God. You're suffering as incredible fellowship with it. Don't abort the fellowship, don't abort the suffering because you'll lose the fellowship. You'll lose the abiding principle. And there's so much to learn in that situation. You learn the mind of God as you are patient. You learn the character of God. This is, you know, I'm sure Joseph is learning the character of God. What did Jesus Christ say? Like, not my will, but thine. You know what I mean? It's like he didn't want something immediately. He didn't want deliverance. He wanted God's deliverance, right?
Patience.
Yeah.
This is the Father's plan.
Yeah.
I think he said in John chapter 7, verse 6, my time has not yet come, but yours is always ready. You are always ready.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, like, just relax. Go up. Go up to the feast. Go up to Jerusalem. My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. So Jesus would be very patient towards, he had to be patient and long-suffering towards people and towards the Father's plan.
Amen.
The situation.
Amen.
And in other words,
like, that's ministry. Yeah, people,
so, yeah. Yeah. So involved with the Father's purpose and plan and realizing that he's looking towards his Father.
This is a great thought, like, because people and plan, they go together. You can be so people focused, you could say you stay out of God's plan. I'm just going to love, but it is something that goes together. This is like mission ministry. Mm-hmm. It's like you're thinking about loving people and you're thinking about living in the plan of God. And you don't become people-centric where it's just, you know, it's all about people. But there's a plan of God in all of this, right?
Yeah. The plan of God and the purpose of God. I read a story about Alexander McKay, who was a missionary to East Africa. They went with 8 people from the British Isles, and before they got to Uganda, 7 were dead. And then he made it across Lake Victoria, and he died of malaria. And he administered to one person in Uganda. He died in Uganda after the trip. And he administered to one person. And literally the whole entire Christian ministry in Uganda was based upon McKay and the one person. And it's amazing. And patience. You could look at something like that and say, this is ridiculous. You know, be patient. Who knows how God will do what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, you know? And what's going to take place, and really being, patient with God's in circumstances and relationships, and not, you know, walking in the light of my self-made fire, Isaiah 50:11-13, you know, but I'm going to just trust and wait. Waiting is not easy for people,
yeah,
for all of us to wait. And by the way, it means wait in activity too. You know, like some people are waiting for something and they do nothing till they, I'm not going to do a thing until this happens, you know,
that's
until my son gets right or my daughter comes back, you know, or something like that. No, wait in activity.
Yeah.
Wait in activity. And that really, if all I'm doing is sitting there thinking about what I believe should happen and why isn't God coming through, then I end up waiting with anxiety, waiting with fear, waiting with doubt and nothing, just sitting there, and it brings me to a place of having no fellowship with God.
You're discovering God while you're waiting, right?
Discovering God while we are waiting. This is so key. So
that's the whole word about patience, actually. Mm-hmm. You remain under, and you abide under at that place. You don't move. You stay right there. And then you have all kinds of activity there. You're discovering God. That's what the theme of convention is. It's like
discover God.
Discovering God.
I think that's so key. And just like being able to wait on God, because maybe you act early and you jump into something and everything becomes pretty messy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or then God comes and you don't respond. You know, either you jump in early or you come in late, you know? And is this God's timing? No, it's not. So you be patient, and then you take the steps of faith when God initiates, and when you absolutely know that, you know, And I think this is so key. And what kind of Christianity do I want to live? I want to live like getting everything that I want, when I want it, how I want it? Or am I going to be patient with God? And by the way, like, what if what I am waiting for or situation, relationship, what if nothing changes? I don't know. No, I can't. You know, sometimes people ask me about certain situations and circumstances and relationships. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to change. I have no idea, you know, and whatnot. But I know one thing that never changes: your fellowship with Jesus Christ,
right?
Your fellowship with God and your relationship to Him, you know, and that is so key. So relax.
This is
relax.
Yeah,
just
this
relax.
This is Abraham, right? You know, God gave him a covenant,
mm-hmm.
and when God gives you a covenant, it's based upon. It's based upon God. And actually, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's something that's performed in the new man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the old man waiting for a natural provision or something he's conjured up in his mind that he's looking for. It's the new man actually discovering God and having fellowship with God. And that's how mm-hmm. we actually wait.
Amen. Any comments or questions out there?
Yeah, there are.
Is anybody out there? We're being patient.
There's a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, there are.
We can take all these calls. Okay. What else do we have out there? Elizabeth, being content with where God has put us, even when God puts us in difficult situations, so we can look up to Him much more. So we know much more of God personally, and we grow in Him. Okay.
Amen. Imagine like you were in the church in Rome and you had to be underground, right?
Yeah.
You lived in the catacombs and, you know, come on, God. I mean, we want to be out there at church and have a building and all kinds of this and that, you know, and it's not happening.
Do these people want to talk to us, Seb? Okay, go ahead. We're going to take a call. Go ahead. We'll take Jenny Perry.
Jenny Perry.
Hi, Jenny.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, Pastor Gary.
Hi there.
Hi. I don't know if anybody brought this verse up. I tuned in at 11:15, but I wanted to mention it and then ask you if you two would comment on it. It's Luke 21:19, and it's really neat. In the Amplified, it says, "By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the life of your souls." And I had always heard, I'd read that in the King James before, and it says, "You shall possess," how's it called? "In patience, you shall possess your souls."
Yes.
Like that. But could you comment? I like this translation. So, "By your steadfastness and patient endurance, you shall win the true life of your souls."
Well, when we're not patient and we're not enduring, and we don't have long suffering, then really our soul, which is that inward person, that inward man, that inward woman, then it's concentrating and focusing on something other than God's mind, God's affections, God's will, God's conscience, and God's self-image. We're not possessing what God has given us. We're not living, experiencing the new man. But if we have this endurance and patience, we are going to experience the new man, the new creation. We're going to experience God's mind and God's affections and God's will and God's conscience and God's self-image. Other than that, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the person of God. We're a new creation in Christ. But are we experiencing it? Are we being possessed by God in a way that is changing our experiential life, you know? So be patient and endure, and you shall have this amazing relationship with the soul of the new man.
Yeah. And patience, we switch our perspective. We're actually looking for something mm-hmm. from God. We're looking for a provision from God. We're looking for help from God. And that's the word for patience. So thank you, Jenny. Thanks for calling. And let's go on to our next caller, Susan. Susan, go ahead. Go ahead, Susan. Are you there?
Good morning, Pastor. Yes, are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
We're here. Hello. We're patiently waiting.
Yes, teaching us long suffering, because I've been on the phone for 10 minutes, hoping you'd pick up.
We did.
Anyway, good morning. I just wanted to say this topic and the way you're expressing it and teaching it to us is life-changing.
Great.
Not just for the people in our situations. It gives us God's thoughts and God's way of thinking toward them and not judging and not being proud that we're, you know, boom, boom, it should be done right away. But also for the souls we've been praying for. Some in my family, it's been almost 50 years for one person. And, you know, I just keep saying, you know what, God, you know their heart. You know, you have the key to their heart. And you know what it's going to take, and I'm not going to quit praying and believing and trusting. And I wait for the day when we can rejoice together in Christ.
You have long-suffering and patience, Susan, right? All at the same time. So, Barbara, we're going to go to Barbara now in Brooklyn.
Barbara in Brooklyn.
Barbara Johnson, Pastor Johnson's wife.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Barbara.
Pastor Grimwell and Pastor Chibeli. Just thank God for the subject, patience. In Psalms 37:7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, which is not easy. But I thank God for the grace and the mercy of God, the grace and the mercy that long-suffering and waits for us. So why not, you know, we with others, you know, be patient in the situation, in the circumstance. Thank you for your portions.
Well, that's, you know, Barbara, it's never easy for our flesh. But when it's Jesus, my yoke is what? Easy. My burden is light. That's a great psalm. You said, what was that, 37?
37:7, yeah.
Yeah. I love that psalm because it says this two or three times. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't fret. It means don't have a panic attack. Right, the word fret, sharad in the Hebrew language, is you're having a panic attack, you know, over evildoers, over what's going on. So a lot of people are having panic attacks because of what's going on in the world today. And he says, do not do that. He says, trust in the Lord. Verse 3. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Next, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Right? I love how it just keeps going with the basis being the Lord in everything. So you trust in him, you delight in him, you commit your way to him, and you keep going, you rest in him, you rest in the Lord, and you don't fret. You don't fret. And it's a word we don't use in our common everyday language today, but it really has to do with a tremendous amount of anxiety that controls a person. And so they're saying the world's not changing, it's horrible out there. And guess what? Your old sin nature is not changing either. Not only is the world not changing, the old sin nature doesn't change at all. Mm-hmm. That's not changing. Mm-hmm. No. And the devil doesn't change. So don't fret. Don't fret. Don't have a panic attack. You know, don't worry. Relax. Rest. Trust. Delight. Commit. Okay? In the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. As you keep going down the line of that psalm. And this is so key. For us to wait patiently for God, to be long-suffering and patience, because we're receiving it from him. It's nothing that we have in our natural. There are some people that are naturally patient and naturally long-suffering, but it's not from the Spirit. No. It's their own. And by the way, there's always something that can break that down eventually.
Right.
You know?
It comes to an end.
Yeah, it's a great psalm, and really just always focusing on the Lord and the key. And not the situation, not myself, not other people even.
Right.
You know? And then the yoke is what?
Easy.
Easy. Come unto me, you know, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. I will give you what? Rest.
Yeah.
And by the way, that word for rest is anapostasis, and you will have rest in activity, not rest from activity.
Oh, great.
You'll have rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. An easy yoke, and my burden is light. And this is so important.
Okay, great. Yes, we commit our ways to the Lord, and then we can wait for His provision, right?
Yeah, I was with a person one time, and they had a flat tire. We were in Africa, and then we went into the trunk to get the spare out, and that was flat. So we got two flat tires, then a third one just happened to be going down at the same time. I said to myself, this is interesting. We have three flat tires, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing anywhere. You can't even find a coconut or something to get something to drink. What I love about coconuts is you can get something to eat from a coconut and something to drink if you can break it open.
Yeah.
But you know what? All of a sudden, the army came. And it was actually a group of soldiers in a vehicle. And they stopped and they helped us with the car. They took us to get the tires fixed and all
Tell
that.
Tell us the accent. Let's hear the accent. How did the soldiers sound?
How are you? What is your problem today? Are you okay? Is everything okay? You seem to have some real difficulties. Can we help in any way? Oh, we will help. Oh, and by the way, we didn't even have a jack. How's that? No jack either.
So they picked the car up for you?
Actually, they had one. They had a
jack.
Powerful
okay.
jack in their car.
Oh, great.
But like we learned a lot about patience, especially traveling in the bush country, in the jungle. You have no idea. I remember one time we were driving up the road and all of a sudden we hit some animal and it was up on our windshield. I thought, wow, what do we do about this, you know? And I thought, you know what, this is unbelievable. So patience. Thank you, patience. Barbara, for your call.
Yes, thank you. So, well, thanks for joining us today on the Grace Hour, okay? And don't forget to subscribe and to the show on YouTube, the Apple Podcasts, the Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And please join us for the next show. And remember, next week, we're not going to be on the air. We're going to be at the convention. So,
hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you in a week. Thank you.